This is Frederick March. I'm going to tell you about The Long Walk. This is a true story of what's happened, what is happening, and perhaps what's going to happen in and to Korea. We have a big stake in it. The Long Walk. Three words from a folk song that has been a tradition in Korea for centuries. The song is called Erirong. You're listening to it as I am speaking. It is the saga of two lovers who walked the long road to the hills of Erirong for their farewell meeting. Today, the song is symbolic of the Korean struggle against fate, their fight for freedom, for a united and independent homeland. This, then, is the up-to-date story of Korea's long walk.
1 year ago, at 10 a.m. July 27th, an armistice agreement was signed by the Commander-in-Chief of the United Nations Command with the Supreme Commander of the Korean People's Army and the Commander of the Chinese People's Volunteers. Hostilities ceased at 2200 hours of July 27th, 1953. To mark this occasion, United Nations Radio presents The Long Walk, a broadcast commemorating the armistice agreement in Korea signed 1 year ago. With music recorded for this program in Korea and voices authentic and unrehearsed, we bring to you now The Long Walk, starring Mr. Frederick March.
The Long Walk. And to guide us through one of the most dramatic stories of our time, we'll get an assist from a real Korean, a young man by the name of Johnny Kim. Johnny Kim has an actual job with the United Nations, and at this moment he's in Korea. So he'll be represented here by Peter Kim, no relation.
Well, Mr. March, Kim is a very common name in Korea. It's like Smith, or Johns, or Brown. Now, this presented some problem to UNCRA because they found so many Koreans they hired for the UN had practically the same name.
Well, not so fast now, Johnny. UNCRA?
Yes, that's a part of the United Nations. The letters UNKRA, UNCRA, stand for the United Nations Korean Reconstruction Agency. It was set up back in 1950 by the UN to coordinate the work of putting Korea back on its feet economically.
Uh-huh. And your work, Johnny?
I'm a translator and interpreter for the UNCRA. I like job a lot, and it gives me a chance to improve my English, you know. But my father, he doesn't like it.
No, why not?
Well, he's not too happy about bringing a lot of machines and new ideas into Korea.
Uh-huh.
He's afraid it might hurt our own family life. Mm. He's very conservative and likes the old ideas.
I see.
My brother doesn't like my working for the United Nations either.
Hmm.
He runs a trading company and he makes a lot of money. He likes the new ideas.
Mm-hmm.
My father won't even speak to him.
No.
Jeez. Me, well, I guess I'm in the middle. My father says I have silly notions.
Yeah.
My brother says I'm too innocent. And I will change when I have seen more of life.
Mm-hmm.
But I have seen lots of life. The trouble with my brother
mm-hmm.
is his women read the mail order catalogs.
His what? Read the mail order catalog?
That's right.
His women read the mail order catalog?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And they call it the dream book. And sometimes they dream just too much.
Of course. I see. It's this sort of thing your father doesn't like, you know?
But he's wrong.
Uh-huh.
Unless we make and run our own machines, we are licked before we start.
Yeah, but it's going to be tough doing that, isn't it, Johnny?
Oh, yes. It's going to be very hard.
Mm-hmm.
And a few of us who can see the future have a very difficult job ahead of us.
Mm-hmm. All right now, Johnny. Let's now take a look at how far the UN's helped bring Korea back to her feet during this year after the armistice. I'll call the shots. And we'll hear actual recordings of what's happening out there. Hmm?
Oh, glad to, Mr. March. Where would you like to begin?
Well, I don't know. I think the best place to begin is the capital, Seoul, right in the middle of the railroad yard. This recording was made back in the peaceful days of 1950. New locomotives are coupling with the cars. The crack night train to Busan is being made up for its regular fast run. Freight cars loaded with goods are being shunted across the tracks by switch engines. Rail service to the provinces of Korea expanding every day. Does that explain things to you? What you hear now is also an authentic recording made in the Seoul Railroad Yards sometime later. There's no explanation necessary. At 2200 hours, that's 9 a.m. at UN headquarters in New York, 1 year ago, the smoke cleared away, leaving twisted railroad yards and smashed rolling stock. Only the main tracks running north and south were still usable, but all the east-west lines connecting hundreds of villages in the hills and valleys were out of commission. The workaday life of Korea had slowed down to the pace of ox carts dragging along muddy roads. So the United Nations faced the task of making the wheels start to go round again. Mr. Ralph Jepson, technical consultant of UNCRA, makes this eyewitness comment.
The railways in South Korea are so important that all commerce comes to a complete standstill if the trains don't run.
Mm-hmm. What was your first move to get the railways into operations again?
The very first thing we did was to estimate the damage to tracks, rolling stock, and water facilities. The three basic essentials to the operation of a steam railway. Bridges were down, railway workshops were masses of twisted iron and shattered walls.
A pretty hopeless situation, I should imagine.
That's right. That was when UNCRA took on the responsibility for bringing in materials to meet the most immediate requirements.
And what about shops to repair the engines?
Would you like to take a walk around and see the kind of machine tools UNCRA is supplying?
Look, what's that machine that's making that weird noise over there?
That's a wheel turning lathe. UNCRA has one of those on order for the other main engine shop.
This must be one of the busiest and noisiest railroads in the world.
For its size, it is. But all this activity comes to a sudden dead stop at Pochon, the most northerly railhead in South Korea. A few yards beyond Pochon, the lines are torn up and the track demolished. And then there is silence. And beyond the silence are the communist outposts. The railroad, like the friendship between North and South Korea, is broken at this point.
I couldn't help but think, hearing Mr. Jepson, that this situation is like watching at the bedside of a very sick friend. You worry about every detail, supposing the oxygen gives out in the night. Will the medicine hold out? But then the doctor comes in, and your hope goes up. Dr. UNCRA.
You know, Mr. March, I remember that lullaby very well. Chajangka, the song of the bluebird. They sang it when I was a boy, and even the Korean children today love to hear it. It helps them forget that they have no roofs over their heads, no walls to keep out the wind, and no homes of their own. Home means a lot to us, you know. We have an old saying that sort of fits here. Nae jip choga samgani, name kiwa jip bodaneun natta. My home with a thatched roof is better than my neighbor's home made of a brick. Sleep, sleep, my baby, on thy loving mother's breast, as the slumbering birds and butterflies. Sleep, sleep, my baby.
Take the city of Seoul, for example. Fought over twice, the downtown shopping district completely destroyed. 80% of the buildings gutted. Outside the city, the fine apartment and housing developments the Koreans were so proud of, a mountain of crumbled ruins. And this city is typical of many. People scrounging for food and shelter, living how they can, where they can. As many as 6 families in 1 tiny shack. Others live in cardboard packing cases. Mother, father, and babies just existing in caves.
Sleep, sleep, my baby, riding on the wings of dreams, dreams of a playing moth in the garden. Sleep, sleep, my baby.
How do you go about making houses out of havoc? Making bricks without straw? Matter of fact, it can be done. Sir Arthur Rucker, who used to be UNCRA's deputy agent general, calls it very interesting, but speaks in quite a matter-of-fact way.
There's a very interesting project for the building of new houses just outside Seoul. There we've brought in some machines from South Africa with which you can make compressed earth blocks. You put a little cement with it, make these blocks very quickly, and they're building very charming Korean-type houses with them.
I'd like to know a little more. Let's go to where they're building the houses and ask Mr. Olaf Hewick, a native of Copenhagen. Mr. Hewick is in Korea as one of UNCRA's housing project officers. What do these houses look like, sir?
There's a kitchen and an entrance hall, the latter being very small. Then there's a small living room and 2 undal rooms, which are actually bedrooms with a heated floor. The typical Korean floor construction, which features radiant heating, an old tradition which is very much older than the radiant heating we know from our part of the world.
All built by local labor with local material.
You can take the soil right from the site you're building. You don't even have to cart it very far.
Mr. Hewick has a point there, of course. Although they don't have to carry the earth very far to build a house, a lot of people carried a lot of ideas from pretty far to help Korea. Yes, the long walk has already begun. The Koreans are on the way. Now, what about the simple matter of clothes? Johnny, what do Koreans wear?
For visitors, I put on my good white silk vest and white trousers.
Mm-hmm.
But on most days, I wear a cotton white shirt and pants. The cloth is a little rough, but it lasts a long time.
It lasts a long time, eh? But why white cloth, Johnny? Doesn't it get dirty very quickly?
Well, Koreans have always worn white. You might call it our traditional color.
I see. Now remember, a year ago, Korea's textile mills had been practically bombed out of existence. So UNCRA earmarked a sum of $2,600,000 to help the textile industry to get back into production again. I want Sir Arthur Rucker of UNCRA, from whom we heard before on housing, to give us his impressions of this story.
There's a big textile factory where they spin cotton, raw cotton, into yarn and then weave it into cloth, which has been provided with a large amount of machinery from the United Kingdom. It was delightful to talk to Mr. Edgar from Lancashire, who had come out to help install this machinery in Korea. His delightful Lancashire accent in Korea was very charming.
Sir Arthur wasn't the only one to notice the Lancashire accent. The Koreans who installed the machinery had an ear for it, too. As a result, there were many natives in the towns of Anyang, Taijiang, Gwangju, who today speak Korean with a Lancashire accent.
여보세요, 그게 좀 저쪽으로 좀 붙일 수 없습니까? 좀 빨리 하세요. Mr. Edgar, what I do this machine subsequently.
Really? Johnny Kim, I see you want to say something here. What is it?
Well, speaking as a 24-year-old Korean man, naturally I'm a little interested in Korean girls.
Wait a minute, Johnny. What brought up that thought?
Well, Mr. March,
You were just talking about a textile mill.
So? I don't get it. Tell me more, Johnny.
Well, I mean cloth.
Oh.
Look, I think you'd get a good idea if you follow the UN's microphone to a place I used to go to sometimes, where the boys and girls go dancing.
I see.
It's in a bummed-out building on the ground floor. Mm-hmm. Not very fancy, but the young people like to go for a few hours.
Mm-hmm. But what does dancing have to do with clothes, Johnny?
Well, I think a friend of mine, Miss Ongyeol Kim, can tell you what I mean.
Good.
Well, we Korean girls like to copy the style clothes we see in the mail order catalogs. You know, it is hard to get good clothes in Korea. They are making some now, but it's mostly for working. I hope that someday soon, they'll be able to make some pretty materials. We are like all girls everywhere, I guess. We like the stories in the movies, and we like to dress up and make believe we are as glamorous as the girls we see on the screen. Do you think it is wrong to make believe when you have nothing, no future?
There may be many Koreans who feel they have nothing, no future, but many things are not what they seem. For actually, there is wealth hidden in Korea, natural resources, valuable ores and minerals. Now, what's the first step when you've got minerals in land and you want to determine their worth? Well, they have to be assayed. So UNCRA built a mineral assay laboratory in Taijiang, open to anyone who wants to bring in a strange-looking bit of metal or rock for a test. It was a great day when the laboratory was open in Taijiang. Johnny Kim was on hand to translate. The speaker, General Coulter, Agent General of UNCRA.
Mr. President, distinguished guests, friends. The opening of the Taijiang Mineral Assay Laboratory, constructed by the United Nations Korean Reconstruction Agency, marks a significant milestone in the development of the natural resources of Korea.
국제연합 한국 재간단에 의하여 건설된 대전 광물 분석 시험소의 개막은 한국의 지하자원 개발상 중대한 표석이 되었습니다.
These buildings, modest though they are, mark the beginning of a new era in the exploitation of the mineral wealth that lies in the beautiful hills and valleys of Korea.
우리는 오늘 국제연합과 한국 간의 협조의 상징으로서 이 시험소가 대전에 소개되는
Mr. March, may I say something here as a Korean?
Please, Johnny, please, by all means.
You are talking about natural resources.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that probably the greatest natural resources Korea has are its children.
There's no question about that, Johnny.
It is for our children that we are taking the long walk,
mm-hmm.
Trying new ideas to help our own land.
All right. Let's listen to some of the story of Korea's kids today. We are in the playground of the middle school in Seoul. A cluster of little girls in midi blouses are playing the Korean brand of skip rope, which they skip very high and very fast with both feet. Over in a corner of the yard, little boys are practicing running starts. Running is quite a national sport. The Koreans have never forgotten that they won the marathon in the 1936 Olympics and the Boston Marathon of 1948. Some of the children are playing jacks with pebbles. Others are squealing away at hide-and-seek. Behind them stands the school. One quick look and you'd say, this isn't a school, this is a bombed-out building. And you'd be right. But it would be a school, nevertheless. No chairs, no desks, one broken blackboard, and four walls, each rent with a huge hole through which one can see the sky. 20 rows of Korean children sit cross-legged on the floor and learn to read and write and remember. I know that nobody believes that schools can be made to spring up overnight like mushrooms. But on the other hand, I'd like Johnny Kim to read a paragraph to us from the most recent UNCRA monthly report. And then we'll really see what a job the UN has tackled. Will you do that, Johnny? Section 9, page 22, paragraph marked, construction of classrooms, $1,790,000 allocated.
More than half the school-age population now lacks the proper accommodation or has none at all. 100 of schools throughout the country are held in the open air or in shelters.
Hmm.
This project is planned to procure building materials sufficient for the construction of 1,300 permanent classrooms.
1,300 permanent classrooms.
In addition, 1,500,000 board feet of lumber from...
감나무가 한 그루 있다.
감나무가 한 그루 있다.
이 감나무는
이 감나무는
내가 낳기도 전부터
내가 낳기도 전부터
있었다 한다.
있었다 한다.
All this for the children. What you call Korea's greatest natural resource, Johnny.
Yes, Mr. March. Anything we can do for them wouldn't be enough.
Hmm. After all, children don't think of war in terms of ideals or attack or defense. They only know that the big noise has passed, and that they're hungry and cold, and that there's no one to protect them. They try to protect each other, too. It's not uncommon to see 8-year-old children carrying on their backs baby brother or sister.
Hey.
Little beggars, badgering, stealing from GIs, even from government officials. Dozens of ragged, hungry kids. You see them everywhere.
No more 10 cents.
Are you crazy?
Yeah, $10.
I didn't ask you to shine them shoe. You get a dime and like it.
Brown phone.
No, no, black.
That's brown.
How about the size? What's the size called?
Much of what you have heard now was started only a year ago, the 27th of July, 1953. But let's remember, though, for whom the United Nations is helping to reconstruct Korea. For this lady, a widow.
I lost my husband during the war. That was 1950, September 1950. Actually, I do not know my husband was killed or kidnapped. So I'm listening radio carefully and reading the paper very carefully. But I guess only makes me tired. But still, I wish I can see my husband. That's all my hope right now.
The UN is working for this little Korean shoeshine boy.
Die together, Mary Bindu, feed him fine. Everybody kiss the little and in kind. He's a great people, no do. He bops a boogie woogie ring. The China noogie shine.
And for this elderly citizen of Seoul.
I'm so happy to coming back to Seoul and see the citizens all not hurt very much. I don't know how to mention myself, which how I'm feeling right now. But my tears coming out before I have anything to mention.
And who for the UN is on the job? A builder from the north, Copenhagen, Denmark.
This machine, which is imported from South Africa, produces building blocks out of earth mixed with cement, a very good ratio of cement 1 to 15 of earth.
On the job is an expert from the south, USA.
Transportation in Incheon was impossible. So a few months ago, some streetcars from Atlanta, Georgia, were unloaded. And would you believe it? You can still see the names of the Atlanta streets through the new coat of paint on the streetcars. Spring Street, Peachtree, Ponce de Leon.
A teacher from the east.
You can see school children, young children, trekking out in the morning to the school about 3 or 4 miles away and coming back to their homes in the afternoon, and sometimes they don't even have a lunch for that day.
A skipper from the West.
Millions of dollars worth of goods and machines and supplies were brought to Korea from all parts of the Western world. At one time, recently, there were 17 ships on the high seas converging on Korea.
Can I add some friends of mine to the list of those working with the United Nations?
By all means, Johnny, please.
Well, Mr. March, on the job, day in, day out, a man from United Kingdom, Australia, Canada, New Zealand, South Africa, and many more countries, to say nothing of these GIs.
Well, I'm a lonely soldier sitting here in Korea. I'm a lonely soldier sitting here in Korea. With a rotation coming, what have I got to fear?
And now, a man who all his life has worked for a free Korea, Dr. Syngman Rhee.
My country is poor. It is devastated by war. But in the real values, we Koreans are rich. We have hope. We have an unconquered spirit. We love freedom enough to be willing to die for it. And we have faith.
Mr. March, for me, that music, like the voice you just heard, is part of Korea. Arirang, our song of the long walk. There are many versions of our national folk song. Some sad, some about love, and some about the troubles of Korea, of bad times and good times. This song has become a sort of symbol among Korean patriots. It reminds us of a better past, of our old proud days.
I'm glad you've listened with me to this sound picture of the first steps of Korea's long walk. In this first year of rebuilding, the United Nations has begun to fulfill its pledge to the people of Korea. But I'm sure I don't have to tell you, who have heard the problems as well as the progress, how much more remains to be done, how much more outside help is needed, from the United Nations through UNCRA and elsewhere. And UNCRA is short of funds, short of supplies, short of trained experts. If that agency is to continue its work of rebuilding Korea, its efforts must receive the support of the nations, united, their citizens, their governments. The work of the United Nations Korean Reconstruction Agency is having a profound and far-reaching effect on the morale of the people of Korea. Let us never forget that it was that country, weak and unprepared, who dared to stand against the attack, and it is they who have suffered the most in the United Nations cause.
You have been listening to the United Nations radio production of The Long Walk. Frederick March was the narrator. All voices were authentic and unrehearsed, with the exception of UN interpreter Johnny Kim, who is now in Korea and was impersonated by Peter Kim. Music was recorded in Korea by the Seoul Philharmonic Orchestra, conducted by John S. Kim. All material was originally taped in Korea and edited by Theodore Conant of UNCRA. The program was written and produced by Gerald Keane of United Nations Radio.
Thank you.